you to do basically the same thing that I did up here for price, I want you to do for cost. And then I want to make sure that on hand, on order, and remodel point are numeric, and then there's a calculation to go through. And the calculation is to figure out how much I should order. And that's up there in the notes. Now, the interesting thing, I'll go over this again just quickly. And Justin actually sent me some stuff about it, and I will, but I haven't really played with it yet. Okay, so the item is whatever. And the cost is 100, and the price I'm selling for is 110, we'll say. Okay. Now, when I tab off these, validating works if you tab off. So if I tab off this, it goes down, okay? Now, the problem that I had, and this one seems to have worked when we put in the C decimal, but I had all kinds of problems with this. And it's more Visual Basic problems than my problem. But it was conversion issues. I had to make sure that these were converted. And I've had problems with that. The way I found that actually worked best for me is I dimmed something up there that I've commented out. I dimmed something up here called work check as a decimal. And then I said work check equals text cost dot text times 1.1. And then I came down here and used work check in the check. And that worked beautifully. So I came down here and in my if statement, I simply wrote if convert to decimal. Actually, I don't think I did. I think I just did text price dot text is less than check, work check. I think that's all I did then. Okay, so I'm going to comment this one out. Yeah, I know I've got too many. I'm going to comment that out and do this as the alternative. And this is the way I originally had in there. And I've got to comment these out, obviously, if I'm going to do it that way. And so now I'm going to run it. And this one works fine as well. Now, what I had done is I said I wanted to have, if the price was not 10%, I didn't want the price to be more than 10% higher than the cost. I think that's what it was. Try the validating if you want. Yeah. Here's where I talked about my problem that I ran into. I started out having the calculation inside the if. So I had it as if work price is less than work cost times 1.1. Okay, so I wanted to charge 10%. I wanted to make a 10% profit. And I constantly got the too low message, even though when I displayed the result, I get 110 on both of them. And I really struggled with this because I claim that it should work. Okay, so now if I go over, it's fine, and I put in and I didn't do anything with any of those. Okay, so that one worked fine. And that was my solution that I came up with. And I played with a lot of solutions at home. Then we came up with that possible solution, and that seemed to work as well. If I did the convert to decimal on both sides. So that one seemed to work as well. What didn't work was this one. So if I put in here, if text price dot text is less than text and I think I did do the convert to decimal in that since I was doing a calculation. Text cost.text times 1.1, then. Okay. Ah, come on. I got too many parentheses. 1, 2, 1. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I don't need any of them. I got carried away from up above. Okay, so now let's see if this doesn't work, and then I'll honestly try to explain it a little bit. See, on this one I got price too low. So when I just did the straight comparison of text price.text, and I compared it to see if the text cost.text times 1.1, if it was less than that, notice what I got. I got price too low. Well, I claim that 100 times 110 is not too low. The two that I've circled out worked around that. Okay. But this is interesting because if I put in here, okay, if I took message boxes and showed them. So if I take a message box and I show text price dot text, and I take another message box and I show text cost dot text times 1.1, and as I said, I think I actually converted that to decimal since I was doing the calculation. Okay, so if I run this again, and I put in 100 and 110, and hit the tab to validate, it shows 110. I hit the tab, okay, and it shows 110. So, it and I are in agreement. Because I just showed the two things I was comparing. Text price dot text is 100. Convert to decimal times it's 100. So I claim it then shouldn't come up with the message too low, which it does. Okay? So it comes up with the message too low. The two workarounds, this top workaround, we played with in class and got it working, but then I swear somebody sent it to me and it didn't work. But I'm going to have to go back and look. This one definitely works. Doing the make a memory variable and put it outside. That one definitely works. But this was just a kind of interesting problem about conversion and how it can just be a royal pain in the neck to get it. And as I said, I claim that I shouldn't have to convert it, but in fact, what comes in off the form is in text or string format, and so for some reason, it didn't like that. But when I add the C decimal to it and convert that, then it's all right. Okay? So it's a type conversion issue, and we ran into this type conversion issue and spent some time talking about it. And I want you to go ahead and fight with it on cost and see how you come up with it. Okay. So in validating, and this is the other thing that I mentioned, when I want to validate something, I come in here, and I'm making my own subroutine, okay? So I pick the field I want to validate on. Let's say I want to validate on hand, so I'm picking text on hand, And over here, I'm picking validating. And then it makes the routine for me that says, okay, you want to validate on text on hand. And basically that means that when I tab off the field, it will do the validating for me. And if I move with the mouse, it does it too. I should have said that's what I was showing you. If I move with the mouse, it does it. Now, the other thing that I mentioned in this other class was this with text price, puts text price in front of that. Selection start means it starts with the zero character or the beginning character, takes the length of it and highlights it so that it's easy to change. So when it wants me to change something, it does that. So again, if I run this and I put in the 100 and I put in the 110 and I go off and it goes through all of this. And then notice it highlights the whole thing. And that's what this selection did. And then the focus puts the focus back up on it. So the select the zero position, select the length, highlights that field, and then focus puts the focus on it, which makes it easy to fix. And if I fix it to 111 and then tab off it, it's all set. There's no problem. And it goes on about its business. Okay, actually I wanted at least a 10% profit, right? So that's what I looked at last time. And there were enough of you that weren't here that it was worth going over. Okay, now what I want to do is start on the examples under procedures and functions, which is chapter 6. And I meant to fix this, and I didn't. We have zip drives here, so you can download them and unzip them. But I meant to change it so you don't need to have the zip in order to get to those. So download them and, what is it called? Z, what? It's a way of unzipping. Z-zip, I think it's called, or something like that. 7-zip. Whatever.
That's one they have.
7-zip, that's right. So those are can be unzipped. Did I click on the right one? No. I wanted to open the procedures first. So we're going to open first procedures. I'm trying to think of who else was here.
Because there's only two of us on there, isn't
there? No, there's four.
Was it?
Yeah.
Or someone came in one of the days there was only two.
Who was it?
I'm trying to remember. I was trying to remember who was he. I know he was, but who was the fourth person? Oh, Justin. Okay, so we're opening first procedures.
Hopefully, has anybody opened it? You've opened it all right here? Because you should be able to open it.
I won't open it.
Oh, you know what? You're on the thing. Do the save file. It's not. Don't open it like that. Go down there like that. And then go to the save file.
Yeah. Sometimes when things don't unzip right, sometimes if you save them and then open them. Did you get yours open? Have you got yours open? Okay. Have you got it? You want to come and show him how you did it? Mainly because you did it on the same machine? For some reason, use the 7-zip at home on that one. I usually don't use it for when in here, but I did. And I meant to fix that this weekend and forgot. Okay, so this is using subroutines that I wrote. And so you just go in and you type out that you want to use a subroutine and just say sub and give it a name. So I just typed sub and gave it a name, public sub to greet. And I just type it out and give it a name. Okay, so I come in here, and if I want to make one, I just type public sub whatever, and it just creates a subroutine for me. Okay, so I now have a subroutine called whatever. Okay, so I just typed it out, public sub, and it's all set. Okay, so on the first thing, I have a button to push. And if I push that button, it says that it's going to do the to greet subroutine. So if I push this greet button, it says it's going to do the to greet subroutine. As your book points out, you can write the word call in front of it and say you want to call the subroutine, but it's not required. And some people prefer to write call because it kind of clarifies that this is the subroutine I'm calling. But it's totally up to you whether you want to do it. So I am clicking on greet, and it is going and executing the subroutine. And when it finishes executing the subroutine, it comes back. So it goes out, executes the subroutine, and comes back. And the only thing I did is I said, dim work date is a date. And then I said, okay, now put now inside that date. And then write out hello, and I didn't even do anything to the date. It's got the whole thing in there, right down to the second. Okay, so that is just a very simple subroutine that basically does nothing, except the point is it goes out, executes the subroutine, and returns, and it's done. Okay. The next one is button total. And again, I told it to just go and do a subroutine. So when I click on button total, it goes and does the subroutine. Now, static means that work total is not going to be reset. So if I want to keep a number, static means it's not going to be reset. So if I come in here and it says enter the amount of the check, so $123. Okay? Now I click on it again and say enter the sub of the check, and I put in 123 again, it's now up to 246. So because that was static, okay, if I had dimmed it, it would have zeroed it out. But because it was static, it's accumulating the total. Okay, so every time I click on this, so I click on it again, and I enter 500, and it is now going to be 746. So it keeps growing on me as I enter the stuff. Okay? Now what I said is, just to see the difference, if you take and comment out the dim, keep that one and put a comment on that one, and then run it, and I click on total, and I put in 123, and it says okay. And I click on total again, and I put 234, and it says okay. And it now says that the total is 234. So it didn't add 123 and 234. It replaced. So if your goal is not to replace, static is a nice little tool. Okay. And the problem with the other one is where total gets reset to zero. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at is pass by reference and pass by value. Okay? Pass by reference means that you reference back to the original. And pass by value means you change the value. Let's take a look at how these work. Okay, so I'm going to click on the pass by reference. And if you look at button pass by reference, it asks for enter the amount of the transaction. So I'll have a $100 transaction. Okay, now as soon as I do that, it will now prompt me for a percent. Okay, so I'm going to say okay. And I'm going to prompt for a percent, and I'm going to enter 0.4 so that I've got 40%. And I say okay. Now, as soon as I did that, this is what happened. It said, okay, I put in 100 and I put in 0.4. Then it said calc by reference. So it went down to calc by reference. And here's the sub, calc by reference. It is taking those two numbers with it. So I said send along work amount and work PR. So go to calc by reference and take along with you work amount and work PR. Now, when it gets here, work amount is going to go in as sent amount. And work PR is going in as sent PR. Now, I didn't have to change the names. I have a choice of changing the names or not. And you will find fanatics in both schools. Okay? One that want the names to be local to the area, and others that want to keep track of what's what, so they don't want to change the names. So you're going to find fanatics on both areas. So I have sent them down, and I'm now at this routine, and I've received them as sent amount and sent PR. So I do the multiplication, and I take sent amount, and I am multiplied by sent PR, and I get sent amount. I could have stored it as something else. And then I said, write out the result from calc by reference is, and so I wrote out the $40. Okay? So, now I'm going back because I finished that routine. Okay, so I go back up into the routine that called it. And I write back in pass by reference from calc by reference, and work amount is 40. Okay? Then I say, okay, list trans.items add that message in. Then I say, okay, now go do other calc by reference and send work amount and work PR. Okay? So it is going and it is sending them. And what I've got when I come back from this is 16. So what do you think got sent? Okay, it sent down 100 and it sent down 0.4, right? Did the calculation and came up with the 40. Then it said, okay, now send it down again and send down, and it's coming down and doing the calculation and it's coming up with 16. And then when it goes back, it's 16. Okay? So what got sent down there, or not what got sent, but what got used is the 40. The 40 that came out of the first one as opposed to the 100. So it changed it to 40. And that is by reference because it took the original and changed it. Now if you come down and look at the next one, which is by value, and we're going to do exactly the same thing when we click on by value. So I'm saying pass by value, and I'm going to put the 100 in, and I'm putting the 0.4 in. And notice what it is this time. It's 100 and 40, 100, 40, 100. Okay? Because basically what happens is I pass it down, and it acts on the copy that I passed it as opposed to the original. So the original stays at 100 and the calculation goes to 40, and then the next time the calculation goes to 40 again. So notice when it went back, notice the difference here. The result in the subroutines, and these are basically comparable subroutines, except that this one has by value and that one has by reference. Okay? So the calculation is 40 on both of them. When I come back, by reference now thinks of it as 40. By value still has it as 100. So the 40 gets sent down and it calculates to a 16, and when it comes back it's a 16. Because 40% of 40 is 16. Here, it sends it again down as the 100 because it's sending a copy, basically, when it sends by value. Does the calculation ends up with 40, when it comes back, the number is still 100. So it changes inside the subroutine, but that doesn't affect the original value when I'm using by value. When I'm using by reference, it's basically referencing back to the original. And so the original is changing. Does that make any sense? And you as a programmer have to decide which you want happening. Do you want the original decreasing because you went down and you're doing a calculation and you want it to keep dropping? And if that's what you want, then you're going to use by reference. Or do you want to not change the original value, but just say this is the result of the calculation, but the original value is going to stay the same. And if you want that, then you're using bival. And the way I try to remember them is reference the original. As I try to do the by reference as referencing the original. Because you can see the original got changed. When I go back on this one, the original went down to 40, and when I came back, it went to 16. Here, when I went back and looked at the original, it was staying 100. So by value, it's staying 100. Just to complicate your lives. You needed that, right? Questions. So, when you're making a decision about using procedures, you also have to make the decision about if you're passing information, whether you want to pass by reference or by value. Okay, so that's the beginning of procedures. Okay. Now, functions are a different story. Okay, so notice again, let me just reiterate. When you go into a procedure, it basically goes and comes back. And the data gets changed depending on the by reference or by value. But it can send stuff or not send stuff. You can tell it to go do a procedure and not send anything, or you can tell it to go do a procedure and send something. If you send it, it's got to be received. And the name under that you're receiving it under can be the same name or it can be a different name. Okay. And your book, I think, does a fairly good job of going through that, so in your spare time, you might think about reading it.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Well, I haven't read it yet.
Huh?
I said I haven't read it. I haven't got the chapters yet.
I've had people...
I've been reading it.
Yeah, I tend to, and I can't criticize it, I tend to read by... I tend to look use books as references. So I tend to read the part that I want to know something about. The only thing is that this book actually is pretty good, and I can't cover everything in class. So if you don't read it, think of it as summer reading that you can take to the beach and learn a little bit more. Because I've had people pass the class without even buying the book, so I tend to give you stuff I gone over. What?
Said yes.
Has he bought the book?
No. I have it on the app. You got it on the app? No.
Okay, here we have a function. Okay, now a function is set up differently. You do a function and it sends something back. It returns something to you. So you tell it to go do a function and you set up an area to return. So notice up here I'm saying go do calc pay. And whatever gets returned from calc pay will be put into word pay. So I'm assigning whatever gets returned from the function to work pay. And then on the other one I assign it to work message. Okay, so I am... And you can play around with bival and by function in functions, too. There doesn't tend to be as much playing around with that. I think, actually, I read in your book that by reference is the default if you don't tell it. So, in the function, I'm going down, mainly because the function is doing something differently, which is why you don't worry about it as much. You're sending information and you want an answer.
As long as your function's correct.
Right. that's a minor detail, right? Okay, so I'm sending it down. I'm saying, go do calc pay and send it work paper hour and work hours. And this time I'm using the same names. Again, I can use different names. Now, as in functions, you have to tell the type of the things you're sending, but you also have to tell the type of the thing that's returning. And I'm returning the thing as W. So in there, I put the type of the thing that is going to be returned. So this is function calc pay, and the thing that's going to be returned is being returned as double.
What would be the difference if it was as double?
Say that again?
What would be the difference if you brought it in as double instead of single?
None. I just decided that I have no idea why I chose those names, because single and double both would have worked fine. They're both decimals. So then I said, define work pay as double. And then I went in and I did a calculation. If work hours is greater than 40, da-da-da-da. And then I said, return work pay. So when I'm saying return work pay is going to be brought back and assigned over there. So I'm saying return work pay. Okay, so I'm returning something to it. And it didn't have to have the same name. I could have assigned it to a different name. But it's returning something. And then on the bottom one, I said, okay, now go and do the type pay. And I was returning a message here. And then I'm writing them both out. So... okay. I'm saying use function, enter the pay per hour, 50. Enter the hours worked, 40. And it comes up and it says the employee did not work overtime, so pay is 2,000. Yes? Question all.
I just love your pay rates. Because all I keep thinking to myself, if I ever get that pay rate, I'm working part-time. 20 hours a week is more than enough for me to survive.
The funny thing is that when I do it, and this is really sounding strange, but when I do it, I think 50, that's kind of low. And I'm serious. If you're doing...
to show you how low my paycheck is right now.
If you're doing consulting work, after a while, you can now be at higher than 50.
Yeah. This makes more sense to me because this is what we just went over our C++ last week.
Oh, okay.
Plus function, so this...
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And are there procedures in that or just didn't have gone over yet? Are there procedures, Charlotte?
I don't think she really talked
I don't think so.
Much on that.
Okay. Okay. So that's how the functions work. And... so again, the function is returning something. I get those two things back, and I can use them in my print statement. Okay? Now, there are a couple of other examples over under file close. I did take a picture of that, right? Closed solution. Okay, if I go over and open things under .NET, because as I said, I did not redo everything that I had out there because the .NET stuff works just fine. So I've got functions and procedures zipped in there, and there's the versions of them. So we're going to take a quick look at those. The ones under, yeah, I'll go there in a second. They're under .NET.
Is that the procedure and function.
Yep. Yeah, and these are the ones that are under there. And so there's just a bunch of different ones under there. And I did do a by reference and a by value and functions. And then if you go down to the vb.net, I don't know why I did it this way, but that's where the procedures are. Okay, so you're going into the .NET, downloading the procedures. There's a whole load of them in there. If you go to functions and procedures, there's just a whole load of them. And you can download those. You get them down fast. Okay, everybody got them? Going. Okay, the first one is simply a simple little function. Okay, now, unfortunately, I copied and pasted a bunch, and so the headings on these still say procedure. But if you look inside, you can see that it's a function. But I just did copying and pasting. Okay, so one of the only thing I actually was going to point out here, and I actually don't know why I bothered to open this one, is that I am doing a calculation in the return. Okay, so I'm just saying return those two multiplied by together. So it multiplies those together, returns them, and returns them as decimal pay. Because decimal pay is the thing that the result from the function is assigned to. So all I have in there is just that simple little return. But the point is that you can do the calculation right in the return if you want to. Now again, what's the purpose for functions and procedures? I've got one I'm going to show you next Thursday, that where I did something and I wanted to do it repetitively, and it's got some kind of neat things in it. And I will go over that Thursday, but we're not going to get there today. Actually, I haven't uploaded it because I went home and went to bed last night. So that's that one. Okay, so now I'm going to open the next one. And that is function by reference. Now you're probably, because you haven't opened them before, it's probably doing the yelling at you thing.
Yeah.
I was playing with them over the weekend, so it's past yelling at me now. Okay, but you're going to get the yelled at and the whole thing coming at you. Okay, so this one I did by reference. So I said, okay, pay per hour 50. We want to keep everybody feeling good about pay per hour. The pay per hour is 2400, the pay per hour is 60. Or the pay is 2400, the pay per hour is 60. Okay, so how did that happen? So what I said here is if the hours is greater than 40, I'm going to do one routine, else I'm going to do another routine. Okay? So I've got two different routines going on. If I go to the no, it's not greater than 40, okay, it adds 10 to the pay per hour. So I just got a $10 raise. Okay? And it returns the result of the calculation. So it does the 2400 and returns that. Okay, so that is what gets stored in decimal pay. And so when I write out decimal pay, that's what I see. Okay. Now, decimal pay per hour, because I did it by reference, decimal pay per hour got changed. Because I added the $10 and I added it to the original since it was done by reference. So it got changed. So I'm seeing the pay per hour is 60. So because it got changed. Now the next one we're going to look at is doing the same thing but doing it by value. So if I put in the 50 and the 40 and calculate, it still gives me the 2400 because it added the $10 in the subroutine and used that to do the calculation of the return. But it didn't change the original pay per hour, so that's still 50. It changed the one that it used in the subroutine. So I added $10, I used the $60 to multiply by the 40, which is why I got 2400. But it didn't change the original, so the original stayed at 50. And when I said, show me what the original is, it showed me the 50. So again, it's a matter of, do I want to hold on to the original, or do I want to decrease the original, or up the original, or change the original? And that's the difference between Bival. Because Bival kept that change local to the function that it was in. And by reference, did not. It changed the original. Okay? And then I think there was an if here that's worth taking a look at. But I can't remember. I've now lost track of what was what. No, I think that was just... I don't think that's doing anything new, but we'll take a look at it. All I did was calculate the pay. So actually, I'm not sure. That was not one that we needed to look at. Actually, I don't think any of the others are either. I'm going to look at them very quickly, but I think I decided that these were not needed. No. Okay, so the next one is this. Actually, I guess I'll look at that. I looked at these over the weekend and I can't remember. Oh, this one is actually functions. So this kind of goes back to the function. So we already went over this, but it's another example of functions if you want to play around with it. Using substring, using instring, and all of that. I did convert this, so this one didn't go over. That's what it was. Okay, file, close solution, and then we'll look at functions just quickly. Open project and functions are under VBNet CIS 50, or procedures, sorry. We'll look at procedures. And I have the quick by reference. Okay, where I went and did the pay and sent it down. Okay, so this is using the subroutine, and it's very similar to the ones that we were looking at.
Is this the first one?
Yeah. Actually, this is the one that says by reference one. So it is talking about the changing by reference will change the original. So if you run this, okay. So by reference. So these go through and change the things. Actually, I thought there was more there that I wanted to look at, but there isn't. So I'm going to go back, and unfortunately you don't have this, but I will put it up. Whew. Okay, this is kind of a neat way of doing it. And I will show you both ways. Okay, so what I had is I am putting in a name and I am picking a course. And as I said, I'm sorry if you can't see it. I will put it up tonight so that you can see it and we will can look at it some more. But if you can't see, can you see all right, Rupia? Okay. So what I've got here is I'm going to put grades in. So I'm putting 67, 78, 89, and now I'm going to put an A. And it comes up and it says TXG4, because that's what I called it, TXG4, is not numeric. So I'm validating here, and I'm validating that it's not numeric. So I said, okay, and I changed it to 123 and tabbed, and it says out of range, because grades were in the range of 0 to 100. So I'm getting an out-of-range message on this one. Okay, so then I go in and I say, okay, I'll make it 99. And then when I hit tab, I can come over here and 100 is acceptable and 87 is acceptable and 56 is acceptable. And I say calculate grade and it gave me that wonderful decimal because I didn't bother to round it. But you can see that the grade is 82.0. Okay. So that is the grade that I've got. So what I wanted to do was have a subroutine that I could do all of the validating in. And I could use it for all 7 of my grade boxes. Okay. So I basically wrote the routine up here. Okay, so this will be used for any text boxes. So down below, I have the individual validating things going on. And don't look at the one that says data validating yet, look at the ones that I have commented out, because that's what I'm talking about first. So I basically had that text G1 validating is going to send up check grade and text G1 and grade 1. And actually I will undo those and we can see that. But essentially, every one of those, when I tab out of it, I will do the validating routine. And every one of the validating routines calls that main routine up there. So that's the value of having the subroutine, is I didn't have to repeat this over and over and over again and write that chunk of code for every grade that I wanted validated. Now, the first way that I did it such that I did have to pass. So I validating, and if it was a problem, I go to do check grades, and I send it text G1, and I send it which one. So I sent that information up. And then I did the calculation, and I said, if is numeric current grade. Now, current grade, notice, is what I received it in. Okay, so I sent up text G1, it was received as current grade. Text G1 was the name that I gave the text box, and it was received as current grade. So I said, if current grade is numeric, and then I said, if current grade dot text is less than or greater than. So I went through and did that. Now, the way that I, and well, as I said, I'm going to take it apart and play with it in a second. But the way, that was still too much work. So I said, okay, I'm going to forget all of that, and I'm going to comment them all out. Okay? And so the one that you actually saw working was the one that has all those commented out. And what I did, and I've got to try to pull the sides over a little bit. Okay, that's good. Now can I pull this side over, please? Thank you. Okay. So what I ended up doing is, if you notice in here, sender as object, okay? Sender as object is, you'll see that in all of the different routines that you make, sender as object. So I decided to use the sender, and what sender as object was, is in this case, text G1 is the sender, because I was validating text G1, and this one, text G2 was the sender, and I was validating it. But here I said, okay, I'm going to call check grades, and I'm going to send the word sender, as opposed to having to have an individual one each time. So I said sub, and I just called it data validating, because I wasn't really validating a field. And over on the side here, I said handles, text G1 validating, text G2 validating. So basically I told it that this routine would be what I wanted to do for validating text G1, validating text G2, validating text G3. Would it help if I printed this out? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just felt so horrible last night that I forgot to upload it. I went to bed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just actually wrote this over the weekend, so, because I wanted something that explained it better. So I should have uploaded it right after I ran it, because then I wasn't feeling like hell. Are you going to be the delivery? Thank you.
I'm so hungry.
I think you've only got 10 more minutes. And then you can go get food. She's not in the classroom. Right, Lauren? I think there's an extra copy, because I counted Lauren even though I... Okay, good. So if somebody comes tomorrow. So basically I said, okay, I'm going to make a validating routine. And notice how validating routines automatically put in there. If I have a validating routine for text G1, it automatically says handling text G1. Mm-hmm. But here I just changed that and said handles text G1, handles them all. So instead of having a separate routine, okay, that I had to pick, and again, remember when I do this, I come up here and pick text G1, and I pick validating over there. Okay? This time I just did validating, and then I did data, and then I did, okay, handles text G1, handles text G2, and that goes all the way out to text G7. Okay, so I've got it handling all of them. Okay, so it handles all of them. So that means that if there is a validating problem with any one of those, okay, because it handles the validating for all of them. So if there's a validating problem with any one of them, then it's going to call check breaks, which is up there. It's going to send the sender, which is, if the problem was on text G4, it's going to send text G4. So if my problem was on text G4, I'm sending text G4. And then I am sending the sender.name, okay, which gave me a name for this. So it was sending the name that I had into it. And it receives those as current grade and which one. Okay, so when I run this again, I'm going to make a mistake on the second one. So I'm validating that one. That one worked fine. Then I come over here and I'm typing 1, 2, 3. And I hit tab, and it's coming forward and saying text G2, because text G2 is the name of the sender. The box was called text G2. Okay, now I could have put an if statement and said if text G2, make it this name and all that, but text G2 is enough as far as I was concerned. Or I could have named my boxes more specifically.
Would you still get that out of range if you just clicked instead of using tab?
Pardon me?
Would you still have got that out of range if you just used the mouse instead of tapping over?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So now, okay, I say okay. I'm going to change it to AS, and then I am going to use the mouse to go over, and I still got the same problem. Okay, and this time it's telling me not numeric. And what I did was when I put up the message boxes, I put the message up there. So I'm saying, which one? So which one received the name? Now down here, if I had run these that were not blocked out, which one was going to receive grade 1? So it was going to say grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. But I had to work a lot harder to get that than I had to work when I just put the one line in. So it basically, I was willing to pay the price.
All right, so the validation is just in that private sub.
It's just that one thing in the, all of it.
Yeah.
The is numeric is just the if question. If you put in
that's
the
right
wrong thing, it's going to, all right.
And so up there in that routine, I'm doing the check. And, you know, when I first, my purpose for writing this is I wanted to show, basically, that it would be really nice to not have to validate every one of those. And so I wanted to write this routine which will be my subroutine that does the validating. And I wanted to use that on every single one. And so then I went down and I wrote it for every single one, and I got that done, and I said, wait a minute, you know, there's got to be a better way. And so I started thinking about it, that in fact sender is the key. The sender tells me what it was that was calling this validation. So it tells me what it is. It tells me the routine, I mean the thing, the box that sent it. So the sender is TXT, G1, G2, G3, whatever it is. That's the sender. And so I can therefore say, okay, do check grades, and sender gets put into current grade. And so then I can check currentgrade.txt. Now this is kind of sneaky, because I'm writing currentgrade.txt, and it's not really a text box. Okay? But I want it claimed to be a text box, because I want it to be the G1.txt. Text G1.txt is what I wanted to substitute in there. So I have to put sender.txt, because sender is just going to be the name. And I am receiving the name, but I want to process it as textg1.txt. And so that putting that in there means that I will be processed correctly. And that's kind of a sneaky thing that Visual Basic lets you do. Well, text grade is defined up here, but I defined it as a text box. Okay? Which, it really isn't a text box. There's nowhere on my form that I see that as a text box. But I want it to kind of be a pseudo-text box. I want it to be act like a text box. And what I'm doing is sending off the sender, which is text G1. It's being received as current grade, which is a text box, so that I can look at currentgrade.txt. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is really kind of sneaky. And I don't even remember where I came across that somehow, somewhere. And it just was a kind of a neat approach to take to things. Okay. And I will put that up hopefully tonight, definitely tomorrow morning if I don't put it up tonight, so that you can see these programs, because we have basically run out of time. And the only real difference is that the sender.name was the second thing that I went off. Okay? Because if you look at what I sent here, I said text G1, that's the sender. But then I put a little there that said grade 1. So instead, I said give me the sender name.
Yeah.
And that's going to give the text G1.
Yeah, that's
okay, nice. So I'm not going to see check 1. If I had run this as I originally coded it, then you would see grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 as the message when it gives a problem, as opposed to text G1, text G2. Okay. And I was simply checking for numeric and in the range of 0 to 100. So I'm looking for anything that is not less than 0, okay, or greater than 100. If it's less than 0, and with validating, the question tends to be the problem, and you don't ask the what I hope it is, I ask what the problem is. Okay? That's that. And I'm curious. I'm going to look and see if the other one... Because I actually did these while I was feeling good. No, apparently it's the same one. I don't know why I put it out there twice, but it's the same one. Okay, I'm done with 2 minutes to spare. I'm actually going to skip forms and menus and go right on to arrays, and we'll come back to forms.